Farm Talk on C103 with Dairygold Prime Elite Rumi Force Calf Cube. Maximize calf performance and health at grass by optimizing the function of the rumen.
Welcome to the Dairygold Farm Talk programme with John O'Connor. Later in the programme, Mr. Coleman Purcell, Dairygold Agribusiness, Lumberstown Mill, nutritionist, looks at various aspects of calf feeding and also compares the pencil mix as opposed to the more traditional coarse mix in feed. Also regarding cows, now that we're at the stage where farmers are looking at turnout, but weather isn't making it any easier, some advice from Coleman on this. Also, what concentrate levels would you recommend for farmers in the current situation? Some recommendations from Coleman Purcell. Coleman sums up the key messages for feeding cows and calves currently. Miss Mary Carney, Dry Stock Advisor, Chagas, Knockgriff and Middleton, County Cork, has some details of forthcoming events. Also, why lime is becoming increasingly important to maintain and improve your soil fertility in this country. Making a plan for buying your fertilizer for your farm. Some upcoming events and details regarding exemptions to the crop diversification rule for 2024. Also confirmation that an extension has been announced for the National Liming Programme. Dairygold, our sponsor, is to power its processing plants with renewable solar electricity from a co-op member's farm. It was announced on Monday, 11th of March, 2024, that in a unique and groundbreaking move, Dairygold has become the first dairy processor in Ireland to sign a Corporate Power Purchase Agreement, CPPA, with one of its own farmer members. The agreement between Dairygold and local grain supplier, Mr. Michael Kirk, will see Dairygold purchase 5,000 megawatts per year of renewable solar energy from Lurig Solar Farm, located on Michael's farm in Haddock, County Cork, to provide electricity for Dairygold's processing operations. Michael developed the solar farm on his farmland in 2022. Speaking about the agreement, Dairygold Interim Chief Executive Mr. Michael Hart said, "We're delighted to enter this agreement with Lurig Solar Farm. It's the first of its kind in the industry and brings together a leading dairy cooperative and a farmer supplier to source locally produced renewable electricity for Dairygold's world-class dairy processing facilities. Pioneering developments like this represent important progress on the implementation of our sustainability strategy." Part of a statement there from the Dairygold Interim Chief Executive, Mr. Michael Hart. On signing the agreement, Dairygold supplier and Lurig farm owner, Mr. Michael Kirk, said, quote, "As a family farmer and a member of Dairygold Cooperative for more than four decades, both Rose and I are delighted to be involved in this groundbreaking agreement with our co-op." Michael Kirk said that he and his wife were proud to be part of Dairygold's continuing sustainability journey. He points out, "When we began farming here at Lurig, the renewable energy industry did not exist, but today it's a central facet in all of our lives." Mr. Kirk said he hoped the announcement on the 11th of March would serve as an encouragement for farmers to embrace opportunities in this area. The agreement is just one of the many initiatives undertaken by Dairygold, our sponsor, as part of its decarbonisation programme for its processing and transport operations. Other recent programmes include the development of the decarbonisation roadmap for processing, the launch of the FarmGen solar PV programme to Dairygold suppliers, and the installation of solar PV at Dairygold's Lumberstown Mill. Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association National President, Mr. Sean McNamara, has wished ICSA General Secretary, Mr. Eddie Punch, every success following the announcement he's to step down from the role he's held for 25 years to run as an independent candidate in the upcoming European parliamentary elections. Commenting, the ICSA President, Mr. McNamara, said, "Throughout his 25-year tenure, Eddie Punch has been a stalwart advocate for the rights and interests of Ireland's farming families and rural communities. Under his guidance, the association has grown in influence and stature, becoming a respected voice in the agricultural sector, both nationally and internationally. Sean McNamara said Eddie Punch's decision to run as a candidate in the upcoming European elections reflects his continued dedication to advocating for the agricultural industry and ensuring that the voices of Irish farmers would be heard on the European stage. Eddie Punch's experience and expertise would undoubtedly make him a formidable candidate, capable of effectively representing the interests of farm families and rural communities in Brussels on the European stage. And the new ICSA president, Mr. Sean McNamara, said he wanted to extend the heartfelt thanks of the organisation to Eddie Punch for his years of dedicated service and leadership, and wished him every success as he takes on this new challenge in the forthcoming European elections. IFA Deputy President Miss Alice Doyle said the refusal of the European Parliament to consider any amendments to the IED Industrial Emissions Directive was very disappointing. Miss Doyle said MEPs appear to have adopted a one-size-fits-all approach and were unwilling to consider that farming systems were not the same right across all member states. Miss Alice Doyle was speaking in Strasbourg. In advance of the vote, Alice Doyle met Irish MEPs and reinforced the family farm structure that exists in Ireland. Miss Doyle said, "It's a shame the vote to consider amendments was defeated by a narrow margin. A different outcome would have kept smaller units outside the scope of what's proposed in the IED." The IFA Deputy President said the next CAP has to take a far more nuanced approach in its deliberations. Otherwise, it will risk alienating a large number of farm families. And the IFA Deputy President, Miss Alice Doyle, went on to say that farms are already heavily regulated and they are not, quote, industrial units. She said, "We have a pasture-based system in this country. This was driven by ideology, not science, and would mean a costly licensing regime on farming." An IFA delegation in Brussels last month made it clear that without any amendment, the IED would bring very small pig and poultry units into a scenario where they needed a full EPA licence. Currently, pig farms with more than 275 sows integrated and layer farmers with more than 40,000 birds would require a licence. The new requirement proposed in the IED would mean that pig farmers with 94 sows and poultry layer farms with 21,000 birds would require a licence under the same directive as a chemical factory. Part of a statement there from the IFA Deputy President, Miss Alice Doyle. The President of the Irish Creamery Milk Supplier Association, Mr. Dennis Drennan, said that, quote, "The dashboard lights are turning red and blinking fast after the CSO's agricultural estimates for 2023 show a collapse in the sector's operating surplus by a massive 36% in just 2 years. Referring to data published in recent days by CSO, the Central Statistics Office, as, quote, "output, input and income in agriculture, preliminary estimates 2023, showed a headline decrease in the operating surplus of Irish agriculture from €3,678.1 billion in 2021 to an estimated €3,023.3 billion this year, a fall of 35.9%. Mr. Drennan noted that the single biggest sectoral component of the fall was the decline in the value of dairy output, and though the value of milk could be perceived to have spiked in 2021, the fall since was as much a function of policy dysfunction as it was market sentiment. Mr. Drennan said the ICMSA, Irish Creamy Milk Supplier Association, had signalled repeatedly over the past 2 years that completely avoidable structural harm was being done to the dairy sector, the jewel in Ireland's food production crowd. This has been done through what he called contradictory and fundamentally unsound policy and restrictions. Next in our Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme, Mr. Coleman Purcell, Dairy Gold Agribusiness, Lumberstown Mill Nutritionist. Joining us on the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme, Mr. Coleman Purcell, Dairy Gold Agribusiness, Lumbertstown Mill. And Coleman Purcell, of course, you are a nutritionist at the Dairy Gold Agribusiness, Lumbertstown Mill. First of all, Coleman, could you please tell our listeners something about the new calf feed range?
Yes, so we introduced a new calf or a range of calf starter feeds this spring, and we rebranded our products also. So the old crispy calf, which some people might be familiar with, has been replaced by the new rebranded Prime Elite Roomy Starter. And this new Prime Elite Roomy Starter is available in a coarse mix or a muesli as it was before, but also now as a pencil. And the new pencil, it's a new addition really to our portfolio of products. So both products contain the Roomy Shield technology, which was developed by Dairy Gold to combat rumen acidosis. So the young calf, it's not really as good as older animals in controlling acid buildup in its stomach or its rumen. And a lot of studies have shown that products that successfully control acidosis in calves will give improved growth rates. So this was exactly the reason we developed the Roomy Shield technology, and it has proven itself to be a key factor in the success of other products also, such as the Prime Elite Roomy Force for calves at grass. And we recommend offering small amounts of the starter mix or pencils, whichever you choose to use, to calves as young as 3 days old, even if it's as small as a fistful at this early stage. And this should be fed along with some fresh forage and water. These are really important. And this approach has proven very successful at encouraging calves to start eating solid feed early to develop their rumen.
Now, Coleman, the pencil, that's P-E-N-C-I-L, the pencil is new. Do you find that many people are slow to actually change to a pencil from the more traditional coarse mix?
Well, it surprised us how many people were feeding pencils in the first instance when we looked at this in the market. And then we had others who heard about the pencil and wanted to try it because it was a new product or a new venture. Of course, our calf milk replacer offer of a free bag of calf starter with every 5 bags of milk powder was also a huge help in introducing people to our new feed range. So all in all, we achieved a lot of exposure of our new products to the market. And we used this situation then to follow up with the initial users to get feedback on how the products were performing. And this feedback has indicated excellent palatability of both the muesli and the pencil, with really high intakes consistently reported. Bear in mind that getting a calf to eat solid feed, that's the initial obstacle that you need to overcome. And we're delighted with the palatability characteristics of our starters in this regard. And once the calf is eating, you need to make sure that every mouthful provides the right type of substrate to kickstart the fermentation in the rumen. If you have the correct substrate, the acids produced from this fermentation will be the correct ones to develop the rumen wall. And this is where nutrients are absorbed. So this will lay the foundation for future calf growth. And finally, you should ideally help the calf to buffer these acids so that they don't affect digestion. And this is where the Roomy Shield technology comes into the equation. So this is the basis, really, for our new calf feed range. And I have to say that we're really delighted with the feedback to date. It's been very, very encouraging.
Now, regarding turnout, regarding cows, we are at a stage where farmers are looking at turnout. The weather isn't making this decision easy. What advice would you have, Coleman, for farmers in this respect, you know, the turnout?
Okay, John. Well, I'd begin by highlighting the importance of minimising body weight loss and aiming for a good peak milk yield. I think these are two key targets that we need to keep in mind if we want to maximise profitability. If cows are delayed going out, we shouldn't lose sight of these aims. So many cows are fed less than the recommended level of concentrates while indoors. And in my opinion, this is based on the theory that cows will hopefully be at grass for a number of hours sooner after calving and will hopefully be on grass full-time before they reach peak milk yield, obviously depending on calving date. We do need to consider, though, how our feeding practices need to change when the weather conditions don't allow for this, such as we're seeing at the moment. So we've seen a significant number of very low milk protein cases this spring. And this is usually accompanied by high milk fats. And this is a typical indicator of poor energy balance in cows. And it leads to ketosis and fertility issues in time. So optimising the concentrate supplement type and level for the forage on the farm, this is absolutely vital.
Now, in terms of concentrate levels, what concentrate levels would you recommend for farmers in this situation?
Okay, John, well, for a cow milking 28 litres fully indoors, an allowance of at least 8 kilos of concentrate is required, assuming silage quality is good. So experience tells us that these cows will suffer in the milk protein content if they are indoors for a prolonged period of time at lesser concentrate allowances than this. Again, this is indicative of poor energy balance. Once these cows go to grass, this allowance can be reduced by 1.5 to 2 kilos typically. And I suppose about 6 kilos of grass dry matter can reduce the concentrate allowance by 1.5 kilos approx for the same level of milk production. So that's a good rule of thumb. And as grass availability and quality increase, the allowance, the concentrate allowance at grass can be further reduced.
Now, the concentrate content, I presume minerals need to be considered in the concentrate also.
Absolutely. Grass silage and fresh grass, unfortunately, can often be very unbalanced for various minerals. In this regard, I would definitely highlight magnesium as cows are going to grass. This one is absolutely vital. And as we all know, a deficiency of magnesium can often be fatal. So in this regard, prevention is the order of the day. The traditional recommendation for magnesium was 2 ounces of CalMag per cow per day. And in today's language, we call that 57 grams. But really, all minerals should be balanced, not just magnesium. And in particular, we come across a lot or a reasonable amount of deficiency cases, be they marginal or severe, of such minerals as selenium, copper and phosphorus. And we need to monitor herd sufficiency for such minerals, and we need to do this through occasional blood tests.
Finally, Coleman, to sum up, what are the key messages for feeding cows and calves currently?
I would say feed the recommended levels to all cows to maximise peak milk yield and to minimise body fat loss prior to breeding. Your milk protein content and your fat content, these can be used to monitor the effectiveness of this feeding regime. It's really vital to remember that, you know, any short-term savings in concentrate can be very costly in the longer term if the cow is underfed at this vital stage, pre-breeding. Once the cow goes to grass, the challenge is to supplement enough of concentrate to achieve these same aims, but also maintaining enough grazing pressure to graze the paddocks down to 3.5 to 4 centimetres. With regard to calves, starting the calves onto solid feed, I would say, should begin as early as 3 days, even though the calf really at this stage is just putting their nose into the trough. That's where they start off. And even if the amounts offered at this early stage are minimal, it's a really, really important stage to start the calf off. And don't forget to give forage and water as well at this early stage. The Primalese Rumi Starter mix or pencils have proven themselves to be highly palatable and digestible while helping to maintain and optimise rumen conditions through the addition of the Rumi Shield technology. We've seen really super results in this feeding regime this spring across a huge number of farms, and this success is really, really encouraging.
Thank you very much indeed, Coleman. Mr. Coleman Purcell, Dairy Gold Agribusiness, Lumbertstown Mill, nutritionist. Thank you, Coleman, very much indeed.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. We are joined on the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme by Miss Marie Carney, Dry Stock Advisor, Chuggers, not Griffin Middleton, in County Cork. First of all, Marie, welcome to the programme. Now, there are a number of very important and interesting upcoming events.
Coming up, the local spring beef grass event, and it's going to be on the farm of Jimmy Lillis, Greig, Shambaddy Moor, on Thursday the 28th of November. The topics that we're going to cover here are spring grass management, fertiliser for silage, and there'll also be a live demo of precision fertiliser application. The other event then is a webinar online, which is going to be covered by the Future Beef team. They'll be covering breeding, and it's on the 20th, the 25th and the 27th of March at 8 p.m. You can register on the Cheggers website for this. So on night one, the 20th of March, we will focus on key performance indicators in a successful breeding season. So they look at calf per cow per year, calving interval, mortality, compact calving, calving at 24 months, and how we'll achieve these in our own herds. Night two then is on the 25th of March. They will focus on getting a cow back in calf, what causes delays in getting cows back in calf, bull fertility, heat detection, how to do our records, and what do we do if something goes wrong, and looking a bit on synchronisation and sex semen. Night three then is on the 27th of March, and they will focus on breeding plans for the future. So breeding for your own system, and they're going to have two speakers in, Wesley Brown, an under 16 month bull beef system, and he also sells replacement heifers, and Trevor Boland is an autumn calving and sells weanlings and yearlings.
That's great altogether. Plenty of very interesting events there planned for the future. There have been a few announcements in recent days on different requirements for schemes. There's been an extension announced under the National Liming Programme and an exemption to the Crop Diversification Rule for 2024. You might remind our listeners what these different requirement changes have been. And of course, I think people will welcome any kind of easing of the Crop Diversification Rule for this year.
Yeah, so on the Crop Diversification Rule, it's under the Good Agricultural and Environmental Condition, the GAIEC 7, for 2024 has been removed. So farmers will be exempt from the 2 and the 3 crop rule. However, tillage farmers will still be required to meet the obligations in relation to the crop rotation for 2026. Crop rotation has an advantage in terms of weed, pest and disease control and will result in helping to achieve the reduction of chemical pesticides. Holdings with arable area equal to or greater than 10 hectares must implement the crop rotation, which requires at least 2 different crops to be sown in a parcel in a 4-year cycle. So look, the crop diversification, 2-crop, 3-crop rule is gone for 24, but we still must continue to hit the targets for the crop rotation. Under the National Liming Scheme, there is an extension to the date which the lime must be spread. So payment for this scheme was conditional on lime being purchased before the 7th of November 2023 and was due to be spread by the 31st of March. However, the final date for spreading now has been pushed out to Friday the 28th of June for spreading that lime. The lime programme was introduced in 2023 to incentivise the use of lime as a national soil conditioner, which corrects soil acidity, makes nutrients more available for plant uptake and health.
The role of lime becoming increasingly important to maintain and improve our soil fertility in Ireland. So the role of lime, and why indeed would lime become increasingly important to maintain and improve your soil fertility in Ireland?
Yeah, so lime is very important for the farmer to increase, I suppose, firstly it's nitrogen use efficiency. So nitrogen use efficiency is how efficient nitrogen is used in the growing season. Improving the nitrogen use efficiency can help optimise the use of nutrients on farm, maintain and improve soil health, reduce excessive nitrogen build-up and lessen the losses to the environment. So farmers with a grassland stocking rate of over 170 kgs of nitrogen per hectare have a requirement to have a liming plan to fix their pH over the course of the soil samples. We want the target pH to be 6.3 to 6.5 for grass and a pH of 6.5 to 6.8 for grass clover swards. Soils at the correct pH allow for the release of nitrogen for early growth, increases the availability of soil phosphorus and potassium in the soil, and also allows the soil to grow an extra 1.5 tonne per hectare annually. Aim to go out with lime throughout the grazing seasons when weather allows to meet your liming requirement. Spread lime once the field has been grazed off tight or at the last cut of silage on that field. Sometimes lime is left to the latter part of the year, and then if the weather breaks, it doesn't get spread. So for example, if you have 10 acres grazed tightly with a low pH, we should be going out with a load of lime straight off. Or once the second cut silage and there is no further silage to be made on that field, we can go out at that moment as well.
That sounds fine. And indeed, turning now to fertiliser, regardless of people using clover, you know, to try and substitute for fertiliser, people will still have to buy fertiliser, some fertiliser. Is there any plan you can suggest or give some tips what farmers might do when they're buying fertiliser for their farm to try and economise and at the same time not waste the fertiliser and get full value from anything they apply? So making a plan for buying your fertiliser for your farm.
Yeah, so I suppose first to do that, a lot of farms have taken soil samples, and once you have a soil sample then we want to make a nutrient management plan. So the nutrient management plan will set out the farm allowances for nitrogen and phosphorus on your farm. So you'll know exactly what you can buy, the amount of P, K and the other elements, and it, you know where to put them on your farm as well. So before then applying fertiliser, once we know our allowances, we want to look at the local weather conditions to ensure the weather forecast is appropriate for what we're putting out to reduce the risks of losses. When buying fertiliser, we also want to remember sulphur. Sulphur is a very important nutrient. Research has shown that sulphur has a major role to play in increasing nitrogen use efficiency, grass nitrogen uptake and grass yield while reducing the nitrogen leaching. So for grazing fields, 16 units per acre per year of sulphur is required to be applied by the 1st of July. We can use such products as 18-6-12 and sulphur, protected urea and sulphur, but it all depends on your allowances, so we need to know our allowances. And you want to apply them between March and July. Research trials have shown that there is an increase of up to 2.5 tonnes per hectare yield response sulphur application during this period. Silage fields need around 12 units per acre per cut, and if silage ground is receiving cattle slurry, around 3,000 gallons per acre, we are going to apply protected urea plus sulphur to balance the crop nutrients.
Speaking to Miss Marie Carney there, Chagas Dry Stock Advisor, based at the Chagas Knock Griffin Middleton County Cork office. Marie, if you had to summarise, you've given an enormous amount of very useful information clearly set out, but if you had to just summarise and pick one or two of the priority points, so summarising your long, quite interesting conversation and advice as a dry stock advisor.
Yeah, so I suppose just to recap, I suppose the first thing I'll touch on is the liming scheme. That has been pushed out to the 28th of June. For the National Liming Scheme to get your pH correct. If you're not in the liming scheme, still go out with your lime throughout the grazing season to get this correct. There is an exemption for the crop diversification, meaning farmers are exempt from the two and three crop rule. Find out your fertiliser allowances for 2024 and book in your BIS application. And just the two events then that are coming up, so the Spring Beef Grass Walk on the 28th of March at Jimmy Lillis, and there is Future Beef online webinar online over the next 2 weeks as well.
The exemption of the crop diversification rule for 2024, you know, will that apply in future years?
No, look, we'll have to say it doesn't apply and that there's only a derogation this year for it because of the weather conditions we've had since last September. So that's why they've given the this to give farmers a chance to put in the crop that's suitable. A lot of tillage farmers weren't able to put in winter crops, and this gives them an option to do the spring crops of what suits for their farm.
Thank you very much indeed, Miss Marie Carney, Dry Stock Advisor, Chagas Knock Griffin, Middleton in County Cork. Thank you very much indeed, Marie. Thanks a million.
Thanks, John.
The Irish Farmers Journal, 16th of March 2024 edition, has published its annual land price report, the most comprehensive independent analysis of who is buying land in Ireland and how much they paid for this land. The report in the journal this week, the 16th of March 2024, provides a full sectoral, regional and county-by-county breakdown for 2023 land sales alongside 10-year trends. A gap has widened across the farmland market in 2023, last year, with prices up in Leinster and Munster, while the averages across Connacht and Ulster fell according to the Irish Farmers Journal annual agricultural land price report, written by Paul Mooney, Irish Farmers Journal. Some of the key findings: Leinster and Munster prices up, Connacht and Ulster prices down on average. Irish farmland average land price was €11,925 an acre, a decrease of 3%, staying with the 2023 figures, Total volume of land sold was down by 5% on 2022. Total land on the market, 66,778 acres, were placed last year. That was up from 2022. The area of land sold in 2023 was 28,260 acres, down slightly from previous year, 2022. Nitrates changes fuel dairy demand for top quality land. Demand and prices for land suitable for planting forestry rose with a big price variance. The Irish Farmers Journal Agricultural Land Price Report 2023, 17th edition, shows that after 7 years of growth, farmland prices plateaued overall last year, with average prices declining slightly. Behind the average price, there was great demand for prime large farms, and these fetched high prices in both public auctions and private treaty sales. Most of these top quality farms were bought by dairy farmers and business people. Among other counties, Kildare, Kilkenny, Laois, Tipperary, Wexford, Waterford and Westmeath saw prices increase. Prices fell in Mayo, Monaghan, Offaly and Roscommon, to name a few. In dairy counties such as Cork, Tipperary, Kilkenny and Waterford, the second half of the year didn't slow down. Dairy farmers in those counties were anxious to stay ahead of the nitrates rules. A number of large estates with period houses were purchased by international buyers. Prices rose in most dairy-dominated counties. But countering this last year saw a large number of plainer farms and parcels of marginal land put on the market. This resulted in prices falling in some counties. The full report available, free of charge, included with this week's edition of the Irish Farmers Journal, 16th of March, 2024. The report's author is Paul Mooney, Irish Farmers Journal. Joining us on the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme, Mr. Declan O'Brien, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. First of all, Declan, welcome to the programme. Now, Declan, farmers are forward buying straw ahead of the harvest. You've covered that in this week's edition of the Irish Farmers Journal, Saturday, 16th of March. What's the background to that forward buying spree apparently now underway?
The farmers are just worried this year. It's turned into a long winter. And straw supplies are just, and they're as scarce as hen's teeth. You know, prices have gone through the roof this year. And so farmers are looking to learn from their experiences this year and say, they're saying, well, we're not going to get caught next year. So tillage farmers that I've been talking to have been doing deals with farmers and saying farmers are literally sorting their supplies out early and saying, okay, we'll take an X number of bales off you. We'll agree the price now. And while money hasn't changed hands, the tillage farmers are saying, well, we have an outlet now. We have a definite outlet for more of our straw, and we're going to look to move it even before the harvest, you know.
Now, Declan, what kind of prices are we talking about? You mentioned a range of prices in your article in this week's Irish Farmers Journal, Farmers Forward Buying Straw Ahead of the Harvest. Could you give us some idea of the types of prices which straw would be making?
Well, at the moment, the straw is extremely scarce. I think that is the first and main point, I suppose. You know, what men are talking is buying round bales of straw, generally between 40 and 50 euros a round bale. So that you're talking for the large square bales then around 100 euros. But when that's transported from the south up into the northwest, you're talking those bales making up to 60 euros a square bale, or a round bale of 4x4. There's only a dribble coming out of the east and the southeast of Ireland going west. But what importers had been doing and what fodder traders were doing was importing from the UK to offset the Irish shortage. But supplies now are drying up in Britain, so it's looking like things are going to get tighter before they get better for the next 5 or 6 weeks before get calves and young stock and get houses cleared. So that is the background, and that's the reason why farmers are looking to forward buy and secure supplies for the coming year, you know, and get away from these problems. But as well, what has been emerging is that some farmers in the southeast are actually buying hay, which is no ordinary quality hay, is actually cheaper than straw. You know, there's hay from 21, 22 available in some parts of the country down at 35 euros around bale. Farmers are actually bedding houses with hay now at this stage. And it's just indicative of the problem that are arising across the country.
It would seem a very good idea to try and make sure you have enough straw or hay for your animals. And in one extreme price situation in your article, you refer to a Leinster, that's a Leinster-based fodder trader, getting 100 euro for 8x4x3 bales, top quality hay for horses, making up to 60 euro a bale. So 60 to 100 euro, that's very, very high. Obviously, something people would, it would scare people if they have stock to feed in what might be a bad winter.
Yeah, it is a fairly scary scenario right now. Those old 8x4x3s they're the equivalent of 2 round bales, so you're still at 50 quid a round bale, you know. But what it does show is that there is very low stocks. I think primarily this needs to be stressed, of straw. There is fodder around in the country. There is no suggestion that we're going to be tight on fodder. But the weather has to turn here. And what Tagascar is saying is this winter has taken out all the reserves. So the pressure will be on farmers for the coming year, not only to secure straw supplies, but also to rebuild those buffer stocks of fodder for future winters. I suppose the other thing on the straw side is that this harvest, the harvest just gone, was extremely bad. Where Ireland would usually get around 7 million bales, round bales of straw, this year they got in around 3, 3.5. So there was a huge deficit from the off. Will we have as bad a harvest again? Who knows? The weather is definitely changing. But I'd say farmers would hope that last year's harvest was a 1 in a 5 or 6 year event, you know.
One tillage man, a tillage farmer, said, he's in South Munster, he supplies straw, and he said 1,000 round bales had been reserved. But of course, in his situation, obviously, he has to make sure he gets paid for it. If you are selling straw at a high price, at a relatively high market value, in line with the current trends, make sure you get paid.
Well, that's for sure. But I don't think there'll be too many people who will be short of customers for straw the coming year. You know, I think this winter has shown that straw is now a valuable commodity, and will be. Farmers won't have any problems moving it next harvest.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Declan O'Brien, news correspondent, Irish Farmers Journal, for your article, Farmers Forward Buying Straw Ahead of Harvest, in the Irish Farmers Journal, Saturday, 16th of March, 2024. And we won't dwell on it too much, but it is a good indication on the face of it, your other article in the Irish Farmers Journal, British beef prices set to remain high this year. Now, the gut feeling is that should have a good impact on our beef here.
Yeah, well, it's a very positive assessment from Nick Allen of the British Meat Processors Association, which would be the representative body for the factories over there. And he's saying, look at British cattle numbers are tight. There's fewer forward stores around. There's fewer fat cattle. There's fewer cattle in the pipeline. They're talking this year alone that they will, that he sees the high prices that they're getting in Britain at the moment. And they're getting up on €5 and in excess of £5 a kilo in the factories, you know. And then what the British processors are saying is, they can't see any budge in that. But it was thought that cheaper Australian beef would come in and would kind of knock the sheen off the market. That's not happened as of yet. What's going on in the Red Sea is disrupting trade from Australia, New Zealand to Europe. So it's looking like prices are going to stay high in Britain for this year anyway. And the outlook for 2025 is lower numbers again in Britain. So that augurs well for Irish cattle prices, given that we export half of our total output to Britain. So it has to be good news for Irish farmers.
And certainly beef people, you know, always they're very enthusiastic, very committed. But it's great every now and then, despite Brexit and all the upheaval in relationships between the UK and the European Union, etc. It's great to hear you say that more than 50% of our beef goes to Britain, goes to the UK. So, you know, some things are remaining stable in the international situation. But thank you very much indeed for your valuable time and those two articles in this week's Irish Farmers Journal. British beef set to remain high this year in terms of price, and farmers forward buying straw ahead of harvest. Mr. Declan O'Brien, news correspondent, Irish Farmers Journal. Thank you, Declan, very much indeed. Thanks a million.
Not a bother. Take care, John.
And that's the Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme for now. I'm John O'Connor. Thanks to everyone who contributed to our programme, including the sponsor, guests, Barry O'Mahony, Head of News, 96 FM and C103, Marie Tuig, 96 and 103 news reporter and news reader and creator of the regular Farm Talk podcast on C103 homepage. A very special thank you to you, the listener, for tuning in. The Dairy Gold Farm Talk programme, Saturday mornings, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and Wednesday evenings, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Thanks for listening.
Farm Talk on C103 with Dairy Gold. Choose Gold Performance Pack. Includes biotin, ESAC and protected minerals to reduce lameness, boost milk solids and fertility.